And so last week, DJ was talking about the tension between citizens of heaven and also citizens of earth, how we are ambassadors. And he used the story of Daniel. So I just wanted to ask this question here this morning. What did Daniel tell his realtor? I prefer a home with no debt. That's pretty good, right? Oh, yeah, dad jokes. Here we go. So I'd like you to imagine with me as we start this morning, just imagine with me either a young man or a young woman who has in their mind and they have this faith that someday they will play in the NBA or the WNBA as a professional athlete. And they believe with all their heart that this is going to happen. This is going to happen for their life. Yet, what do they choose to do? They don't show up to practice on time. They actually don't practice on their own. They're pretty good at basketball, but they put no effort in. But if you're not willing to put the effort in, you're not going to make the NBA. Or I don't know if you've been a part of an organization that has values. I mean, most organizations have values, but they have like a list of values. It's posted everywhere. They have these values on their wall, and yet their actual values, the values that they walk out, don't match the values that are hanging on the wall. I don't know. Some of you may know the show Undercover Boss. That's something that happens often in that show, is the boss goes undercover, and he's hanging out with employees and middle management and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, he realizes, well, these are the values that I've stated in our mission statement, and yet they don't seem to be lining up with the people. Like the heartbeat of the organization isn't the same as what I desire it to be. You know, so this morning we're going to look at the tension with faith and works. This tension has been within Christianity almost since the conception of the church in the book of Acts. This tension that's coming in between faith and works. You see, the good news was being spread all throughout the known world, and people were coming to Jesus, and they were being filled with the Spirit. The church grew exponentially. And one of the early schemes of the evil one was, he's like, well, I can't stop what's happening, so let me divide it. Let me divide what's happening. And some of the ways that he began to divide was over works and faith, over Jew and Gentile, over slave and free. He's like, let me divide the church so it stops spreading so quickly. While this great expansion of God's kingdom was happening in the book of Acts, we see that there are Pharisees and Sadducees that came to Christ. So in the Jewish culture, they were the people of power, right? They were the class of power, and they come to Christ, and they're kind of like mixed, and they're being filled with the Spirit, and they're seeing God move, but their emotions and their tension is like, well, we still have the law, so are we doing the law here, or are we free in Christ? And they're living in this tension, and what happens is these Judaizers in Acts 15, what they're saying is, yeah, you can come to Christ, but you also must be circumcised. And so this created some great tension within the church. Well, is it faith in Jesus, or is it an action or a work that gives me into heaven, that makes me grafted into his family? So there was this issue that began then. And then, obviously, I want to look at some scripture here this morning. And so we're going to look at scripture that seems to maybe, like, just go against. Last week, DJ used the illustration in Proverbs, where it's like, don't answer a fool. And then the very next verse, answer a fool. You're like, oh, what do I do? Right? And so we're going to look at just two quick passages that may seem to contradict on, is it about faith for salvation, or is it about works for salvation? Nope. So starting in James, what does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And we have Ephesians. So Paul, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So here we have James, the half-brother of Jesus. We have Paul, you know, one of the greatest missionary apostles of all time. You know, James is the leader of the Jerusalem church, and they seem to be saying two different things. James is questioning, can faith alone save? He seems to be saying that faith that is completely non-existent without works. And Paul seems to be saying that's only by faith and no works for our salvation. You see, this has been a significant division within the bride of Christ since the beginning and the conception of the church. I mean, one of the greatest ones we see is in the 16th century when Martin Luther comes on board and he desires to have a conversation with the Catholic Church to say, can we talk about these passages that say sola fide, or faith alone, for eternal salvation? Can we have a conversation about this? Well, they had a couple, and then they were like, hey, bro, you out. Like, they were like, you're out of here. And so they excommunicate him. And Paul is so passionate about faith alone that he looks at the book of James, and he says, you know what needs to happen with the book of James? It needs to be ripped out of the canon. He actually calls James the epistle of straw because he feels that James is taking a works-based salvific message. So there is a modern conversation around this, and the modern conversation is on one side you have lordship salvation, and on the other side you have what is easy believism. So there are still ongoing things in the church. However, the question for us this morning is how do faith and works interplay in our Christian walk? How can we hold this tension and live as a people following Christ? How can we do that? What is our responsibility? Where do we go from here? How do we walk out this tension between faith and works? So I want to begin with our first truth this morning, that our faith is important. Our faith is important. So I kind of pit Paul and James against each other, but we're going to let them interplay through our points this morning. And the first one we see in Acts 16:31, Paul and Silas, they're jailed. They're worshiping, praising God. Earthquakes are happening. And the jailer comes up to him and says, what must I do to be saved? There is a noticeable difference in your life. What must I do? And what do they reply? Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. We see in Luke 7 that Jesus is anointed by the sinful woman. And what does he say? He says these beautiful words. Your faith has saved you. Go. Your faith. And obviously, most of us in here can probably quote John 3:15 and 16. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. Our first true truth is faith is important. Faith is absolutely important. It's important to God. But what do we do about the works part? What if our faith is like the person or the organization, or the undercover boss at the beginning? What if our faith is like that, where we have these belief and this strong allegiance towards a goal, and yet there's nothing that happens? There's no action behind it. That's where the second truth comes in. That our works are important. So not only is our faith important, but actually what we do is important. And this is actually what James is talking about in James chapter 2. So let's read that together. 14 through 19. What good is it, clear brothers or sisters, if you say you have faith and do not show it by your actions? How suppose you see your brother or sister has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye, well, stay warm, well, and I this is what James said. Our faith without good is dead. What does Paul say about works? Look at that. And Paul, too, demonstrates that works are obviously important to God. Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, he then says immediately, no, we should not do that. Galatians 6:9-10 tells us not to grow weary of doing good at every opportunity. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. And just at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. You see, the evil one, what is he trying to do? He's trying to divide. All the time he's trying to divide. And when we go back and we look at Scripture, what is the theme of Scripture? Unite and come together because you are one body. I love this verse because not only is he talking about having every opportunity to do good works, but we actually get to receive something. Look what it says. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. A harvest of blessing. We may actually be able to receive things from the Lord, maybe physically, but obviously spiritually, and hopefully generationally. That we are people doing good works so that they recognize what is happening. The generations coming behind us recognize what is happening, and we get to be a part of that blessing. Paul also says this, we will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged on the works that we have done. Look what it says very clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we will stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we have deserved for the good or evil that we have done in this earthly body. This judgment that he's talking about, it's not the judgment of are you a believer and going to heaven? This judgment that Paul's talking about is a judgment on what have you done with what I have given you. We will not be judged the same as the person sitting next to us. Because God's call on the person sitting next to us is different than our call. We will stand before God alone and he will judge the things that we have done here on earth. And who's the standard of that? It's him. He's the creator. He's the judge. He's the sustainer of all things. He's the one that has given you the call on your life, and he's going to judge, have you walked out the call that I have for you specifically? And we will be judged on that. And so I want to just encourage us and ask the question, are we walking out what God has called us to walk out? Ephesians 2:10. Now remember, we've already read verses 8 and 9 that was talking about grace. Look what it says here, that we were actually created for good works. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ. So we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. So at the beginning of time, before any of us were here on earth, God had a plan for our lives, and he created us. And he created us anew within Christ to do good works. So without works, our faith is dead. But I have some encouragement. You want to know what the encouragement is? Our God is a God of resurrection. So if your faith has been dead or it's in a moment of death right now, guess what? Jesus can resurrect that. He can absolutely resurrect that. Because once something is alive and dies, Jesus can make it alive again. He can make it alive again. So without works, our faith is dead, and without faith, our works are meaningless. So wherever we land on the spectrum, the modern day divide with lordship, salvation, and easy believism, wherever we land, it should point us to something. It should point us to something. And that something is this. Both our faith and our works are a gift from God. We're going to look at Scripture because this is the actual truth, that our faith and our works are actually God's gift to us. They're God's gift to us. All right. So going back to Ephesians, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one should boast. We cannot work our way into God's favor. He produces the works within us. Look at Isaiah 64:6. Our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you. Who is it? Is it me? No, it is God who works in you to act in order to fulfill the good purpose. And obviously, Galatians 5, we looked at these during Advent last year. But we're told things like love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness. All these things are the fruit of His Spirit, not ours. His Spirit, not ours. So our works are a gift from God. Our faith is also a gift. We also cannot believe without the Spirit producing faith in us. We can't do it on our own. It is God who draws us. Look, 1 John 4:13. He has given us His Spirit. John 6:44 and 6:65. Look what it says. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Our faith comes from God. We actually can't produce our own faith. 6:65, no one comes to me unless the Father has granted it. No one. Our faith is produced and given to us by God. It is a gift from God. So both our faith and both our works are His gift. We cannot have works without God. We can't have faith without God. Worship team, you guys can come up. DJ has talked about faith. You've heard him talk about pistis, right, before here? How faith is that word pistis is allegiance towards God. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about faith. Our faith that's a gift from God actually should produce works. Because if our allegiance is to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then our allegiance, the walking out of that allegiance, will look more and more like Jesus. So the allegiance, that part of our faith, must produce works. It must, because they're both gifts from God. They're both gifts from God. I want to conclude my time sharing a quote from a famous author. Oh, it's DJ, yes. this is faith. True faith will shape our thoughts. It'll shape our feelings and our actions as we conform ever deeper into the image of the Son. When our allegiance is to God, it will change our thoughts. It will change our feelings, and it will change our actions. When our allegiance is to something else, that's the thing that's leading us. Whether it's a habitual sin, whether it's a substance, whether it's a bad habit, whatever that is, whether it's gossip or slander, whatever our allegiance is towards, we're going to produce that kind of fruit. True faith will shape our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions as we conform ever deeper into the image of God. The bottom line is this. If we are to be a people following Christ, our faith will help us look like Christ. And our faith will help us have works like Christ. We are a people following Christ. And it points us to our need for Jesus. Because if faith is a gift and works are a gift from God, we have to have an understanding of our need for Jesus. We have to have an understanding of our need for the indwelling power of the Spirit. Because if we don't recognize those things, our allegiance and our works will be aligned with something else or someone else. But our need is for Jesus. Our need is for the good Father to shine upon us. And our need is for the indwelling Holy Spirit to move powerfully among us. We bless you, Jesus.